Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
Flames drop 2 to the Leafs. Now the perspective changes quickly. Good evening and welcome to another episode of Flames Unfiltered, episode number 86, as we roll into the second week of the National Hockey League season, January 27th, 2021. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube, and good to have you here tonight on a day off for the Flames as they roll back into action Thursday night against the Montreal Canadiens. And I'm a little let down. Are you guys let down after this Toronto series? Oh man, my hopes were so high after those first three games. I was like, I mean, the way we played the first period of the Winnipeg game, and I'm just like, holy cow. I mean, I was so impressed, you know, with the, I don't know. I was just excited. Things were good, man. And it's amazing how quickly the perspective changes when you go from 2-0-1 to 2-2-1 as the Flames drop 2-1 goal games to the Toronto Maple Leafs at home at the Saddle Dome. In front of about four people. Sucks saying that. Be great to be back there. But now questions start to arise about consistency. Is this team ready when the game starts? Because it doesn't look like it in a lot of cases here. And what's going on with our bottom six? We thought that was actually going to be a strong point, and I did too, this year. And so far proving to be a little out of whack. Well, we come out of the 5-day break. Let's talk about that first. And in true Flames fashion, the Flames struggle. And just like all-star breaks and CBA mandated breaks that this team's had over the last 3-4 years, they come back flat as a pancake. And I thought, you know, and I shouldn't say that because Sunday's effort I didn't think was horrible. But when you look back at how we came out of the gates against Winnipeg, the 3-0 complete game to Vancouver, how our defense was active and our defense was just on top of things. And I think that having an active defense makes this team so much better. And I didn't see that against Toronto. And I'm not sure why, if they were fearing the Matthews Marner speed or what, you know, what it was. But I didn't see that. And we just didn't have play with that consistency we need, and we need to find consistency and put full 60-minute efforts together. Now, yes, there was some bad luck. It was very prevalent in Game 1 against Toronto, and in the Vancouver series when I think we had a span where 4 or 5 goals that went in were off of our own teammates' bodies at some point, and that's just bad luck, and that's going to go away, and we're not going to have those bounces, and maybe we'll start getting some bounces our way. So those are the good news and the good things to look at it. And we're back to hockey on a consistent basis, and this week's going to be batshit crazy as we head into a series with Montreal and then on to Winnipeg as the team hits the road for a 5-game road trip. And I am looking forward to that series with the Habs, but I'm also honestly scared to death of that series. They've been very, very impressive, and I'm interested to see how this Flames team handles their size, and it'll be an interesting series. At the beginning of the year, I kind of looked down and maybe boo-hooed Montreal a little bit, and it's biting me in the ass now, and I'm more afraid of them than I was facing Toronto the other night. So, well, we're on tap for a big show today as we'll recap that Toronto series first of all, and then we'll discuss about the truth about Lucic, and then we'll move on and talk about the Tkachuk incidents against the series in Toronto and how they were so overblown, it's ridiculous. And then we'll discuss some Flames news from the North, and a very interesting listener question segment as I switch gears and change it up a little bit in a positive way. We wrap with a preview of that Montreal 2-game set, and then the 3-game series, all 5 games on the road. And those are going to be critical games against two really, really good hockey teams. Thanks so much for joining us on Flames Unfiltered. We'll be right back. All right, Flames fans, it's time to recap two games that took place since we last recorded last week at this time. And, yeah, Toronto comes into town. Two games. It started off Sunday afternoon. I hate afternoon games. I'm going to tell you guys that 5 million times on this podcast, but I just don't like them. And we started off Sunday with a 3-2 loss to Toronto in a game that I thought the Flames played fairly well. I talked to quite a few Flames fans that didn't get a chance to see that game and asked me what my thoughts were. And I thought we were fine. I thought we had a few things that I would like to see shored up a little bit and a few questions answered with that bottom six after that game. But all in all, I thought we kind of got bad luck to, in my mind. I thought we, as a whole, we're a pretty decent hockey team. The intensity level was fine, just bad breaks. And we didn't finish on a couple of them that we maybe should have buried. Goals for the Flames, Monahan had his second, Tkachuk had his third. I thought Jack Campbell of the Leafs played really, really well in net. And, a well-deserved win for the Leafs, and I wasn't totally upset after that game. Then, Tuesday night's game last night, January 26th, the whole first period was another story, as I was actually kind of pissed after the first period. A horrible start. Flames outshot 12-1 in the first eye. You just can't have that. First period is so bad, we had one shot on goal. We had three of our shots blocked, and five of them missed the net. So a total of nine shot attempts in the period. You're not going to win doing that. We allow two goals in the first period. We're down 2-0. Hold the climb out of. And you can't be successful continually climbing out of holes. It just doesn't work. No good team that ends up, you know, high in the standings is a team that has to come back every night. But the Flames did rebound, and I thought the second period was very, very good. And actually, I had, I guess, pretty damn good gut feeling that this was going to be a game right down to the finish, as Calgary outshoots Toronto in the second, 13-4. We're right back in this game, and Marner scores late to kind of seal the deal, and Calgary has a few chances late and can't bury the puck just like in game one of the series, and it's over. We lose again 4-3, another one-goal loss, and very disappointing. One thing I did notice during this game that was concerning, real concerning, I have no grasp on the bottom six at all, and we'll probably talk about that on next episode. We're going to learn a lot more about them over the next week, I think, and that's why I didn't want to talk or rip them on this episode, because I think the bottom six, I hope we have a clearer picture, because I didn't know exactly how to approach that, because I really don't know what to expect anymore with this case. This whole game was marred with odd man rushes and turnovers. I know there was 3+2-on-1s, and I think you could throw a 3-on-1 in there too. Turnovers in the neutral zone were aplenty from everybody. So I really don't have a ton of fingers to point at. Flames goals, Gaudreau had his third and his fourth, and Lucic had his first of the year. So we get 0 of a possible 4 points from Toronto, and in this division that is going to be just crazy, crazy tight all year in my mind. That was a real disappointing two games back from a 5-day break that we all, and me personally, thought was going to be great for this team and is going to give them the time to work on things. And quite honestly, they looked worse coming out of the break, so hopefully we can change that as they head on the road to visit the Montreal Canadiens. All right, Flames fans. The truth about Lucic. And I'm going to be honest with you. I had a whole big thing planned out to talk to you about this. I was going to write a bunch of stats, and I was going to have all this stuff put together. And at the last minute, I said, hell with it. Talk about stats with Lucic. Let's tell you the truth and tell you what I see. I got to burn my saddle with Lucic. It's disappointing and it's frustrating. This guy can't keep up this year. I didn't like him last year during the regular season, But what he did in the playoffs to me gave me a glimmer of hope and gave me a little bit of okay with this guy. Now, I'm not attacking him personally, and he's a very nice guy, and he's good in the locker room, and he's good for the city of Calgary. But right now, as sad as it is, I have to describe it this way. Lucic looks like a beer league hockey player that won a contest to play in a National Hockey League game. He cannot keep up. He cannot keep up. It is turnover after turnover after turnover. Sad thing is, we have to deal with Lucic for another two more years. We can't move him. We can't trade him. We can't do anything. The only thing we can do is one of two things. Pray that he gets picked by Seattle and he waives the no trade to go there, or the no move, excuse me, to go there. Or he retires. Which at first I didn't think was completely possible, but maybe it is after some of the comments he made last year when he was struggling earlier in the year. And now, don't get me wrong, I hope Lucic comes back and has some strong performances and proves me wrong. I'm all about admitting when I'm wrong. So far this year, I've had to eat crow on Gaudreau, although it hasn't been the playoffs yet, so I don't have to fully. I want to be wrong. I want Lucic to prove me wrong. But I don't think it's possible. Now, there's a couple problems that make this worse. Jeff Ward is with him when they won a Stanley Cup in Boston. Jeff Ward has a strong relationship with Lucic, which I think is a good thing. But I think Jeff Ward is looking through rose-colored glasses and seeing what Lucic was when he was in Boston and praying he can just get something remotely close to that back. Unfortunately, that time has passed. And I'm not the only one that was seeing this, because I saw multiple people post this on Twitter last night saying, why every time I turn around is he on the ice? The guy is getting a ton of ice time. He actually got promoted up on the depth chart from the fourth line to the third line. He's behind the play left and right and all over the place. I saw another really good tweet last night during the game, and I'll try to pull it up here quick as we're doing this, because it was so good I took a screenshot of it, because it's dead on. It said, I don't know, but I have seen Lucic out against Matthews four times this game. That is not a recipe for success. Why does Jeff Ward think it is? He had so many turnovers against Vancouver and the first game against Toronto that I thought there was no way in hell he'd dress yesterday, and he did. And I don't know if Ward was afraid there was going to be rough stuff because of the Tkachuk incident with Campbell or what, but what does this guy bring to us? Now, no, I know you can't take and you can't throw him into the press box and let him sit for the rest of the year. You can't. But you have to come up with a platoon system with Nordstrom and Ryan and him and maybe, I don't know, I like Levo and Simone in the lineup. So, you know, maybe you need to have a rotation. But my gosh, we can't keep beating a dead horse with this. I know that Jeff Ward won a cup with him. I know that they have a strong relationship. But you got to throw that out the window and not make coaching mistake after coaching mistake and having him stuck out there against the other team's first line when you're at frickin' home. This guy can't skate at the level he needs to skate at. He just can't do it anymore. And it sucks because he seems like a great guy. And he seems like he's the guy you want in the locker room. And he's everything. And I know for damn sure that if some crazy stuff went down during a game, Lucic would be there to back his teammates like you wouldn't believe. Sadly, though, his time has passed. And I don't know how we're going to make it through this year. And God forbid, two more years of this. salary aside, just I'm talking liability on the ice. It scares me. And it doesn't seem like the coaching staff sees it. And I don't think I'm the only fan that feels this way. It's pretty evident. It's obvious. All right, controversy on. And how many times have we talked controversy with Matthew Tkachuk? Oh, it just follows this guy, and it follows this guy, and I don't know. Let's talk about what's happened. Incident game one against Toronto Sunday. As the game comes to an end, there is a mad skirmish. Calgary has a goalie pulled. Mad skirmish by the net, and former Flame TJ Brody and Matthew Tkachuk are tied up and digging for the puck in front of the net, and Campbell goes down to cover, and Tkachuk gets pushed by Brody, and it did look like he put a knee into him, and I'm not saying he didn't, but he didn't drive down into him, but he lands on his back. Campbell's now injured and out. I will go to my grave believing that that injury took place prior to Tkachuk falling on him, but Toronto fans evidently don't believe that, and all day Monday, Toronto fans were in an uproar over Matthew Tkachuk being another cheap shot artist. Matthew Tkachuk had not a lot to say about it. Coach Ward said that if it wasn't Tkachuk and it was another player, we wouldn't even be talking about this, and I completely agree with him on that. This is another overblown Matthew Tkachuk incident that I don't know. I don't know. Now, lots of people Monday morning also were talking that they thought there would be some retribution, that Tkachuk would have to answer to Simmons, or something would have to go down on Tuesday night. Well, nothing had to go down on Tuesday night because absolutely nothing happened. Nothing happened. It was overblown. And Tkachuk didn't have to answer the bell for this, and rightly so, because I don't think that he had anything to do with the injury to Campbell. But at the horn of game two, another twist and turn. As the game was over, the horn went, puck was laying there, Tkachuk was on his knees to the side of the net, game was over. Jake Muzzin of the Maple Leafs basically just pushed back or flipped the puck into the air, not hard or anything, but flipped the puck into the air and hit Tkachuk in the chest. Tkachuk jumps up and goes after Muzzin. And referees were there. Nothing really too crazy happened, but Tkachuk blew a gasket. And after it was separated, kind of blew a gasket down the hallway, banging the bench door, beating some stuff on the way out, and was kind of being crazy about the situation. And yeah, I'd probably be pissed off too, but I'd want to have to go after Muzzin. I'm not sure how that correlated back to the bench, but there's a couple things that I have to say about this incident. I was a little surprised that no other Flames jumped in to Matthew Tkachuk's defense. Kind of scared me a little bit. I can't help but believe there isn't a few teammates on the team that are like, Jesus, Matthew, every freaking night I got to get face rubbed and freaking punched because of something shit you're stirring up. Like, I know there's teammates that think that. I know there's teammates that love him, though. They all love him because they know he'd go to bat for them in a heartbeat. But I was a little surprised no one came flying in there, and maybe nobody saw it, maybe knew what Matthew was upset about. That, you know, that very well could be. It did surprise me a little bit and made me wonder that no Flame jumped in. Another thing about the reaction on the way to the locker made me believe that maybe he was upset with his teammates or upset with the lack of emotion and the start Calgary had, and just all of that jumbled into one because it wasn't really a pretty night for the Flames. On the flip side of this, though, this was something that probably the rest of the league looked at and was like, good for Muzzin, because Tkachuk got a little bit of his own medicine. Now, being a Flames guy and a Tkachuk fan, that's hard for me to swallow, but I'm smart enough to know that if you're going to give out the business, you got to be able to take the business. And for the most part, I think Tkachuk has shown us that. The Cassian situation, all these other situations, a Doughty situation. I believe he's proven to Flames fans, teammates, the organization, and the league for that matter, even though some people are jealous and don't want to admit that, that, you know, he's willing to back his actions. Was his freakout about how Calgary played and about the result? Matthew Tkachuk doesn't like to lose, and I think that's a good thing. I think that's a positive. And I don't necessarily mind that he got pissed off, because if someone flipped the puck at me, I probably would have done the exact same thing. I do kind of wish that somebody would have stepped in with him and sent a message. I don't believe this carries over into the next series with Toronto, because I'm pretty confident that Matthew Tkachuk just puts these things and files them away. I'd be surprised if he carries it and does something stupid in the next game. Now, he may give Muzzin a little slash or play him a little bit differently, but that's the emotion we need from Tkachuk. I don't necessarily want him to be full of antics, but when he's under somebody's burr, that's when Tkachuk plays the best. When there's controversy, when there's grit, you look at those Edmonton games last year, that's when Tkachuk's at his best. So whether fans agree with it or disagree with it, which most agree with the way Matthew Tkachuk plays, especially Calgary Flames fans, I want him to have rivalries. I want him to have a burr in his side over things like this. I want him to be focusing on, all right, we're not only just going to get Muzzin, we're going to freaking make sure we beat Toronto next time because of the disrespect I was shown by having that puck flipped at me. If he uses his emotion in the right ways, it's going to be great. As a whole, though, in the hockey world, I think both of these incidents were way overblown. I do. I feel both of them were extremely, extremely overblown. But that is a lot of that surrounds Tkachuk. Everything gets overblown. And if Matthew Tkachuk does something, the whole hockey world watches, whether it's good or bad. But you know what? I wasn't in the locker room. I wish I would, because I would have loved to have seen some of the conversations and some of the fire that went on in that locker room after that disappointing loss. Because this whole Tkachuk thing at the end of the game might not, or might very well be a good thing for this team.
Hockey news, dropping the gloves and stirring the pot.
All right, Flames fans. Yeah, it's time for some Flames news and a couple things and news and notes to talk about in a little bit shorter episode today, since we don't have a guest joining us this week. We hope to have somebody next week. We got some things in the works for that. Flames news, Dylan Dubé still out of the lineup, upper body injury. According to Coach Ward, he is very, very close to return, and all signs point to him being back in the lineup Thursday when the Montreal Canadiens take on the Flames in Montreal. Defensive pairing production, something I definitely wanted to talk about. Ryan Pike from Sportsnet 960 put out a tweet about the Flames' defensive pairings at 5-on-5. And it was great. When I saw this tweet, I was like, oh man, I gotta save that. That's a good tweet. Hanifin and Tanev played 70 minutes and 13 seconds of 5-on-5, have not allowed a goal, and have scored 3. Giordano Anderson, 64 minutes, 35 seconds, 2 goals, 4, 3 goals against. Valimaki Nesterov, which I was very impressed with early on. I'm starting to wonder a little bit as we get through the games here. 62-19, 5-on-5, 2 goals, 4, 5 goals against. That number is inflated lately, and that's not good. Look at the Hannafin tandem. Zero goals against. Did you know that there's only one other pairing in the National Hockey League that has not allowed a goal 5-on-5? And that's New Jersey's Severson and Kulikov. That's pretty amazing. And I think a lot of Flames fans need to take a step back and think about this, because some people I see really ripping on Hannafin about his defensive ability. I always defend it with, have you looked at his age? I think good things are coming with Hannafin. And what I've seen from Tanev so far, this guy is going to be the backbone of this team. I think one of the biggest problems in Vancouver is that they don't have Tanev anymore. I think he's that important. And I think we're going to see that as the year goes on, that may just be our best acquisition. He has been a force. And for those two to not have allowed a 5-on-5 goal is amazing in that amount of time. That's great. Some good news, bad news. Stockton looks like they'll be American Hockey League team affiliate for the Flames. Looks like they'll be playing all their games in Calgary this season and not in Stockton. City and county officials confirmed that the franchise has decided to play their games in Calgary, the hometown of the NHL parent organization. The news comes just days after the Heat released their 2021 schedule. The decision does not mean that the team will be not returning to Stockton in the future, but this year it looks like, because of the COVID situation and the Canadian border and everything involved with that, it looks like the Stockton team will be playing out of the Saddle Dome with games starting in February. The Heat will play 40 times in the Canadian division against Belleville, Manitoba, Laval, Toronto, five Canadian team division. Not a great thing, but almost inevitable. For transferring players back and forth, having them not playing in Canada would be a huge detriment. And I'm not going to lie, it would scare me right now if I was a Stockton Heat fan and part of that organization in Stockton, because I don't believe, I pray this is the only time we deal with a pandemic in my lifetime, but my gut tells me it won't be. My gut tells me that it could happen at any time again. So we need to probably prepare for these situations, and I don't know if this is the only time we end up doing this in my lifetime, I pray. But for the future and economics, having Canadian teams have their farm clubs in Canada probably makes the most sense. But we'll see how that plays out. And I'd sure hate to see the team not in Stockton. And it's sad that they won't be able to play there this year. But logistically speaking, for the Flames, it's going to be so much better to have their players there. Now, as of Sunday, the Flames, or the Heat players, have been training in Calgary, so that won't be as big of a deal for them. News from in the division, the North Division, the Scotia North Division, or the Canadian Division, as I call it. Let's run through the standings real quick. Right now, as we sit, Toronto leads the division with 12 points. They're 6-2. They've played 8 games. Montreal's played 6 games. They're 4-0-2 with 10 points. Winnipeg has played 7 games. They're 5-2-0, 10 points also. Edmonton's played 8 games. They're 3-5-0, 6 points. Vancouver is in 5th place with 6 points. They've played 8 games. Calgary sits at only 5 games, the lowest in the division. They're 2-2-1. They sit with 5 points in 6th place. Ottawa in 7th, 1-4-1 in 6 games played. They have a total of 3 points. Win percentage has Calgary much higher than that 6th place. But that's where we sit in points. We will start catching up on games as we go into a real busy streak in Calgary. Toronto's Joe Thornton out long-term with broken ribs. That's not good if you're a Leafs fan, but they didn't seem to miss him the last 2 games. Prior to Vancouver's 7-1 victory over Ottawa on Monday. The sky was falling in Vancouver. It was. Twitter was a blaze of anger and hate and what's going to happen with us. And, yeah, GM Jim Benning was the main target. And there was talk everywhere and communication going that he was going to get ousted if the team didn't turn this around, and that the team had actually been in communications with former LA Kings assistant GM Michael Fuda. I don't know how much truth there is to that. I just saw multiple reports that that had actually happened. Other crazy news in Vancouver, Elias Pettersson, who was unstoppable last year, was an amazing, amazing rookie, is off to a terrible start. He has one goal, one assist, and eight games played, and now he's hired a new agent. The pending restricted free agent has hired a new agent. What does that tell you, Vancouver? Yeah, it actually tells you that that might be a sign that he's not happy with the current negotiations in Vancouver, and there is really no way of getting around this. If he doesn't sign a team-friendly deal, I don't know how they get him locked up to a contract that he deserves if he can turn his year around and start playing like the Pettersson that he was last year. Because last year he was flat out off the charts, and this year, not so much. All right, the listener poll. I was going to do a Facebook poll, but everything that came to my mind was negative. And after dropping two games and that season only being five games in, I thought, we need to pull some positive. We need to be a little bit more positive. We're going into a fun week here with lots of games, and let's do something positive. Well, I couldn't think of a positive poll question. The negative person I guess I am. So that sucks. I couldn't come up with anything. So I was perusing my Facebook groups that I hang out on and all kinds of different Calgary Flames on. And one of my favorites is Flames Hub. And here it is. I found it, man. I found a quote that made me laugh so hard that I thought, you know what, instead of a fan question, I'm just going to talk to you about a feel-good quote that made me laugh my ass off this week. Dan Fournier puts on Flames Hub that the Bruins announcer just said that Jankowski is one tough customer. I laughed when I saw that because I don't miss Jankowski one bit. I laughed when I saw that, but I laughed even more when I saw a response from one of the followers. It said, yes, he is. He's tough to watch. You know what? After two losses and a lot of hockey left, and a team that I feel pretty confident with, we didn't need to focus on the negative today. Even though I'm fired up about Lucic, not real happy with a defensive pairing right now, and way too many turnovers and odd man rushes last game, I needed to have a smile on my face today. And thank you, Flames Hub. You gave it to me.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, Flames fans, we're back. It is time to game preview. Who do we got to preview? Yeah, Thursday night, tomorrow night. Well, the day this releases, actually. It's game day. Calgary at Montreal for their first meeting of the year. Calgary sits five games in, 2-2-1, 5 points, sixth place in the North. Montreal, six games played, 4-0-2, 10 points, second in the North. The only team in the North with no regulation losses. The game drops at 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, so an early one. I hate those early ones. I like them when they're late at night. That's just because I have kids, and that's how life is when you have kids. Projected goaltenders, Carey Price looks to be like he'll be in net, .893 so far, 3.14 goals against average, and it's really up in the air on who's going to be in the net for Calgary. It's about a 50-50 split amongst people, whether it'll be Markstrom or Riddick. Riddick has yet to play this year, so his stats are fresh and ready to roll. Markstrom currently sits 2-2-1, .911 save percentage, 2.62 goals against average. Leading scorers on each team, Johnny Gaudreau with 7 points for the Flames, Tyler Toffoli with 8 for the Habs. That's crazy to say. I'm about said Kings, and I almost thought Canucks, and wow. Goals, Gaudreau leads the Flames with 4, Toffoli with 5 for the Canadiens. Assists, Monahan for the Flames, Drouin with the lead for Montreal, both have 5 apiece. Goals per game, Montreal, look at this stat, 4.83 goals per game. Calgary currently sits 3.2 goals against. Calgary sits 2.6. One problem in Montreal, they've allowed 2.83, even though I think both Allen and Price have been really, really good. Calgary's power play, yep, right home about it, 33.33%. Still clicking along at a really good rate. Penalty kill also very good in Calgary, 83.33%. Let's stay out of the penalty box, and yeah, hopefully we handle the big bodies in Montreal. It's a big hockey team, and I'm interested to see how we stack up against them. Should be good games. They followed up on Saturday night with a Hockey Night in Canada game at 5 o'clock again. That's January 30th. Then the road trip continues as Calgary heads to Winnipeg for a Monday night game, February 1st. The Jets are currently 3rd in the North, so another tough competitor. And they back it up with a back-to-back, the 1st and 2nd of February, Monday, Tuesday. They get a day off, and they finish that road trip in Winnipeg on Thursday. That is the last time Calgary goes to Winnipeg this year. Flames return home on Saturday, February 6th for the first Battle of Alberta. Yeah, we can't wait for that one. Well, last night we had a hot mic game of the week. So you ask, what the heck is a hot mic game of the week? Well, we do them once a week here on Flames Unfiltered. And what it is basically a watch party. And it is a blast. Last night we had a great group of guys and gals on there talking Flames hockey as the game goes on. Now I host the show and we just talk about everything. Last night we talked about some Flames history, how we got to be Flames fans, who our favorite Flames were, who our all-time favorite Flames were, who's off to a great start this year, who's not off to a great start, who's pissing us off, who's making us happy. We cheered on a couple of Gaudreau goals, and yeah, we did it all together on the Flames Unfiltered Hot Mic Game of the Week. So you ask, well, how the heck do I do that? That sounds like fun, actually. Well, you grab your iPhone or your iPad, and you download the Hot Mic app. You set up an account for free. You search Flames. You join the Flames Unfiltered group, and you check the viewing schedule. And you're going to see the next game is February 6th versus Edmonton. That's Saturday night, Hockey Night in Canada, the Battle of Alberta. We're going to have a watch party that night. It's great. It's a good time. It's free, and it's fun. Now, what else do we do? Well, you know what else we do? We give away some stuff. Every night, we have a viewer of the night, a participant of the night, someone who types in a lot of stuff, interacts real good, and just kind of gets things going. We send them a 2021 Upper Decks Calgary Flames hockey card set just for participating. It's fun. And then we also have a contest, and it is a fun, fun contest. It's the Hat Trick Jersey Contest, and it'll be going throughout the whole year. And what it is this. We're having 14 games. We've had two already, two winners already, and each winner gets entered into a drawing at the end of the year, which will take place the first Sunday after the regular season. And you know what we're giving away? A Blasty jersey. Yeah, we're going to send you the size you fits you, brand new Blasty jersey. So how do you enter this contest? How do you do it? Well, first thing you got to do is you got to connect with Flames Unfiltered and follow them or like them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You join in on the next watch party. Watch us for us on Facebook, Twitter, and you'll see the schedule. You'll see the link to get in. Click on that and join the watch party. When you get into the watch party, you pick who you think the first Flames goal will come from. If you get it right and you get entered. You get entered into the drawing. We've had two winners so far. Monahan won a nice lady, an entrance into the Blasty contest. And last night, Johnny Gaudreau wanted for another guy. Well, they're in. So 2 of 14 are in. And they could be winning themselves a brand new Blasty jersey. It's a great time. Join us on the next Hot Mic. We We hope that you can be there that Saturday night against the Edmonton Oilers. Yeah, another episode on the books, guys. It's fun. Try to take it calm. I'm after that bottom six next week on the show. If they don't get their things together. Working on some good guests for next week, too, is it's always fun talking Flames hockey with other people, too. We're back. Lots of stuff to talk about next week, as it's hockey, and more hockey for the Flames up ahead. Thanks for all our listeners. We truly do appreciate it. Help us out. Follow us on social media at Flames Unfiltered and subscribe to us on YouTube at the page Inside Edge Hockey News. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We do this because we love Flames hockey, but boy, the interaction with the fans is fun. That's one of the best things. Enjoy the week. Hopefully we can take down the Habs. Should be a good game.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. And consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah, baby! Play on!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.